Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, April 14th. This is 2020. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have John Martellaro. Hi, John.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Glad to have you with me. Also today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good to be here.
Now, Andrew, I'm going to start with you. We have some breaking news. This happened as we were getting ready to record the show. Apple has released a press release. Put out a press release talking about mobility data that they have from Apple Maps that they have anonymized and put together in order to help with COVID-19 efforts, is what it says in the headline.
Yeah, so hopefully I can explain this right, because like Kelly said, we just got this and I had maybe 5 minutes to read what was going on.
Yeah.
So basically, Apple, they release what they're calling a mobility data trends tool, and it uses data from Apple Maps. And basically, it's a way for people, anyone, to see how like people driving, walking, biking around has changed because of the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. As you would imagine, you would see a drop in different areas. And I say anyone because their website lets you type in any country, region, or city, like New York City, into mm-hmm. into their website and see a chart of how this data has changed.
Yeah.
This could be helpful in determining hotspots where people are congregating and people are isolated. Because you know, the recovery is a rollout gradually and in different spots at different times. Mm-hmm. This could really help with that, figuring out where you don't want to relax the restrictions.
Yeah.
And I also like how they let you download the entire data set too via CSV.
Mm-hmm. Comma separated variables.
Okay.
Values.
Oh, okay.
It's basically a blob of text. What's interesting about this is that it's not where people are going. It's not how long it took them to get there. It's literally just I opened up the page and I typed United States. And it shows me that driving is down 63%, walking is down 66%, and transit is down 81%. That's all it shows me. I'm sure that I can get, and it tracks it over time from January 13th to April 12th. They have this information. And the way that they're gathering this information is, where did it go? It's people asking for directions. The information, here it is. The information is generated by counting the number of requests made to Apple Maps for directions. So that's what they're using. So if you're a person who relies on that travel widget to get to work, that may be, or to get home in the evening, that may be the data that they're using. And it's just, it's all, driving and walking are down 2/3 and transit's down over 3/4 what it was.
And so, Apple does mention that it's not associated with your Apple ID and they don't retain a history of where you've been. So it's aggregated data.
Yeah. So A, it's data in aggregate. B, it's counting the number of requests made to maps for directions, not what they are or anything like that. The data itself, like the search terms and all of that, is associated with a rotating identifier. So even if Apple did have that information, they don't have it anymore because at some point that identifier has changed. And so Apple doesn't have access to any of that information anymore. So this is a very interesting bit of information to get to look at. Like you can put in other countries and stuff and get different results, obviously. Part of what is kind of interesting about it is that, like you said, Andrew, you can download all of it. So
yeah, I did. It's like, a small file, creating a spreadsheet of it. It's just pure numbers, like we said, no names, no locations other than the country.
Mm-hmm.
They break it down by transportation type. Just as an example, I'm not sure if I can read this correctly because it's just numbers, but I'm seeing for Albania, because that's the first one in the list. Yes. It says in January 13th, this number for driving is 100. For January, if we scroll all the way down to April 4th, mm-hmm. that number 100 is all the way down to 24.89.
Yeah.
Which means there are a lot less people driving around, which is good.
A whole lot less, yeah. It says right at the top, change in routing requests since, and in this case, January 13th, 2020. I assume in a couple of days, that would be January 15th, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And just as a data set, it's interesting to see how this is working. And right at the top of the page, which is at apple.com/COVID-19/mobility, it says, privacy is one of our core values, so Maps doesn't associate your data with your Apple ID, and Apple doesn't keep a history of where you've been. So there you go.
You know what could be really cool, Kelly and what? Andrew? Mm-hmm. Using this data in concert with other data that gives you insights when you didn't have this original Apple data.
Yeah.
For example, these plots showing the transit in the drive, plot that against the curve of cases, mm-hmm. and you can see what the lag time is between shelter in place and the number of cases.
Mm-hmm.
As a function of how deep this curve goes on Apple.
Or also having some correlation of how it's of is it working? Like, here's when people really started to stay home in earnest. Is that when the tide started to change, you know, or something?
Yeah. What's the lag time? What is right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
How can you? Yeah. Could layer. Really this cool. is just another really interesting layer of data, and it's pretty anonymized data, but very useful data. Like, this is Apple sort of marking that line between the two. I think here's some information that may be helpful, and you don't have to worry about us sharing it. You know,
a while back, I wrote a particle debris where there was some initial discussion about what Apple could do to assist. And the popular wisdom at the time was, you know, Apple should transition from making MacBook Airs to ventilators. Mm-hmm. That's the extent of our wisdom at the time. But look what Apple's doing.
Yeah. And plus, doing it safely for everybody, right? Like, my information is helping contribute to this map. But nobody knows what part of it is me. And that seems like a very reasonable thing to do, like, in my estimation, because, like, my data, Andrew's data, John's data, like, how do you feel about this, Andrew? Because, to me, this seems pretty straightforward and anonymous. I also happen to know my data is boring, but but, like, I feel like, you know, every bit of that helps. And so, you know. Andrew, you and I talk about security and privacy and keeping your data your own and all of that, but this seems like a horse of a different color, so to speak.
Yeah, I think this is good. I'm fine with it. What I would like to see is breaking it down by state, because it has all the countries and a bunch of major cities, but not state. Because, like John said, I would be interested to go back, find that date where our governor enacted that stay in place order, and then seeing how that data lowered over time.
Yes, I would like the same thing, because that was the first thing I typed in was Portland and didn't get anything. And I typed in Oregon and didn't get anything. And I would be interested if the data could get more granular. Maybe Apple doesn't have that. Maybe country is all of the filtering they can do.
Names.
Some of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's only some of them. So that's why I was wondering. And I don't know where that threshold is, I guess. So that would be cool. And I would like if it were possible to have better filtering of that data, I would like to have it. While we're talking about it, though, one of the other things that we have to discuss today is Apple sort of replying to a letter that they got about something else that they were doing in order to fight the current pandemic fight. And Andrew, you've got more information on this.
Yeah. So earlier this month, several senators had sent a letter to Tim Cook, basically asking Apple, like, what kind of privacy and security practices they're using in their COVID-19 app and website that we talked about. And so I think it was yesterday Apple responded. Who was it? Let's see. Apple's Senior Director of Government Affairs, Timothy Powderly. And as we talked about before the podcast, the main thing that stuck out to me was Apple saying that neither the app or the website is compliant with HIPAA. Mm-hmm. But they do make a note to say, notwithstanding, we do have applied strong privacy and security protections to the app and to the website. And they did design both of these tools to meet some of the technical safeguard requirements of HIPAA.
Okay.
They mentioned access controls and transmission security. So even though it's not fully compliant, there is still some compliance.
Okay.
Well, it may not need to be fully compliant because no data is being transmitted out of no health data is being transmitted out of the phone.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I think I haven't used either the app or the website, but I think it just asks you what kind of symptoms you have, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's all it does. Like when you look, it says when you go to the page, there's a big button at the top that says start screening, and then you can, right below that, you can choose a state to see the guidance from the health department for that state. So it's really just kind of a dashboard of information.
Yeah.
You know, here, like what we know about testing right now, what you can do in order to help fight this, what publishable factual information there is about the virus at the moment. So it's interesting to see this. And it says at the bottom that it was developed in partnership with the CDC and, and it says right at the bottom, Apple is not collecting your answers from this tool. Apple collects some information about how you use it. The information collected will not personally identify you. So something along the lines of how many people click on start screening, probably not, yeah, you know, if it's a million people, but not which million they are.
Doesn't this letter seem a bit archaic? It seems archaic and it's procedure to me. You know, there's a Senate Finance Committee, a Senate Intelligence Committee, Senate Oversight Committee. There should be a Senate Privacy Committee. And then when Apple gins up these things, they send the chairman of the committee a note and say, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And they're all on board. You don't have to sit back and do a 19th century thing. Well, gentlemen, let's write a letter to Tim Cook and see what's cooking.
Yeah, honestly, I understand the desire to make sure that Apple's not scooping any data out, all this kind of stuff, because, you know, they have to have hearings where they talk to Facebook and they talk to Google and they talk to these folks about stuff that they don't understand.
And
it is. I understand the sentiment behind it. The execution, I agree with you, is ridiculous. The only way this could be more archaic is if they either sent it via carrier pigeon or fax machine.
So, what's a fax machine?
Yeah. they don't have them where I live, John. I live in 2020. So I understand the sentiment. Like, is what Apple is doing, safe for people? Is it something helpful? Is it something that's not damaging, basically, right? And so I get asking the questions, but I also feel like, you know, there's stuff on the site that would answer all of these questions. So there wasn't really a need for them to have to do this. And, you know, quite honestly, like reading that this was a thing that had happened, I'm like, why did this have to be a letter that a bunch of senators sat down and wrote and, you know, put a stamp on and put in the mail and waited to hear back about, right? Like, why couldn't it, you know, like, is this really the best use of your time given where we are right now, right?
That said, I like Apple's answers.
Oh, me too. I'm glad of them.
And that's basically the rest of what this letter is about. It's just they're saying the same thing they said on their website, except with more words. They mention, you know, we don't use data collected on this website for commercial purposes. We don't share or sell it. And like they said, they're not fully HIPAA compliant.
Right. And there's a certain amount of HIPAA compliance that you don't get when you're not sharing that data. That's one of the tiny things I know about HIPAA compliance. I could be completely wrong about a great many things, but I think one of them is, like, if you yourself get that data and you yourself keep that data, I don't think HIPAA I don't think it's HIPAA compliant because it doesn't enter into any of the parameters that make it a relationship that is protected by HIPAA because you're not giving it to anybody else. So I think I think that's the catch. If I am mistaken about that, observations@macobserver.com, please let me know. By and large, our listeners have no problem telling me when I'm wrong. So if this is something I'm mistaken about, please let me know because I want to make sure that that is information that is accurate if we're putting it out. But I think that's what it is that like the point of HIPAA is making sure that only the people who should have access to your health information have access to it. And if you're not giving it to anybody else, there's nothing for compliance. So I think that's where that I think that's how that shakes out.
Right.
I think that's how that shakes out. So that I think that might pretty much do it for us today. I thought that it was I did like all the rest of their answers, like you guys said. It was nice to see that they could, you know, take the time to do that. And I do have to give these senators credit for being able to ask these questions in a coherent way. And not just be one of those endlessly repeated clips of data that we see from other Senate hearings, like, you know, asking the head of Google why their iPhone doesn't work the way they want it to, you know, like we've all seen that stuff. So I appreciate that these are people who are who understand it well enough that they were asking coherent questions. Right. And and being able to have enough of a grasp on what it was that Apple had out there that they were able to say, like, these are the things we want to know about it. And so
and thank goodness we provided them with enough words.
I did appreciate. I did appreciate like what they were asking. But yeah, like I said, like I feel like somewhere at Apple, a fax machine went off and this letter came out in it. So I do appreciate the sentiment behind it, but yeah, I feel like everything they wanted to know was already on the website. So there's a slight bit of kind of RTFM happening there. But like I said, that's going to do it for us today. As always, we appreciate your feedback. We appreciate your tips and if you have anything you want to tell us about, absolutely let us know. Observations@macobserver.com. We're always on the lookout for cool tips and just kind of cool stuff that you would like to share with us. Please do so. And you can, like I said, observations@macobserver.com. You can get us at TMO Daily on Twitter and you can leave comments in the show notes. Thank both of you for being here today. Andrew, thank you for coming by with all your words.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
John Marlero, thanks as always for being here.
Yeah, it was so good to be here. Let me elaborate on that.
No, John, you have too many words. I'm taking some away now.
Okay.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamott. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.